Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
AI is definitely becoming more and more, well, we rely on it more and more. It's incredibly, incredibly useful as a tool. Some of us use it just for research. Other people are using it to create code, to do all sorts of very, very powerful things. But what does that mean for our innovation? What does it mean for the future of jobs? Dr. Wei Tse Lung, lecturer of Academy of Computer Science, Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. A very good morning. Nice to chat to you again. How are you?
Good morning. How are you and your listeners? I'm great. Good. I hope you're also doing very well.
I am. So let's just talk about, because it's very nerve-wracking, isn't it? Because the more sophisticated and the better it becomes, the more it gets trained to be better, the less reliant we are on certain positions.
Yes, that's actually true. Look, I'm a computer scientist, so I'm very much in favor of, you know, humans using tools that are out there to make our lives easier. But at the same time, I'm also worried about how reliable those tools are. I would imagine that, you know, if you had to go see a doctor for a very complicated surgery, you would appreciate if the doctor was using tools that would enhance their ability to do their jobs correctly. But at the same time, if those tools are not necessarily reliable, you know, things could go pear-shaped. I think you would think twice and you say, listen, I prefer you do it the older way without these tools. And I think that's where we are with AI tools right now. So yes, it seems to be doing a great job, but you know, on occasion you'll read about how it didn't do such a good job. You know, there were these you know, quirky behaviors or undesirable behaviors that it's done. But we seem to be plowing ahead and saying, you know what, it's fine, we'll just use it anyway, despite the warnings. And I think I am more worried about that. Sure, jobs are, as you say, jobs are on the line because managers and bosses will think that, oh, AI is the end all and be all, so we can use it to replace all our rights. And I think it's the perception that AI is perfect and it's doing a great job and we can use it to replace humans completely. I think that's the wrong notion, but it is what people are jumping on board and thinking that's going to be the case at this point. I would say that's more concerning.
But the reality is that with every innovation, jobs are lost and jobs are found. In other words, we couldn't have imagined, you know, 50 years ago, you couldn't imagine somebody being an influencer on Instagram, just to be extreme and silly. We couldn't imagine some of the jobs that are now available. 100 years ago, well, they wouldn't have imagined somebody being a flight attendant. So things change, but also new opportunities evolve. So we can see very clearly what we're going to lose, but we don't always have the ability to see what's created.
100%. So the idea is, you know, if we are educating the next generation of the workforce, that we do try and look ahead and say, well, where is this taking us? And equipping people with the necessary skills, because as you mentioned, there are certain jobs that, like the influencer job, what does that take? Now you might think, well, influencer doesn't need to know anything; they just have to be there and be in front of a camera and chat.
Right.
But you know, some influencers are very, very popular, very, very successful. But there's another element of that they need to consider, and that is how do they run a business? Because they might employ a bunch of people working for them.
Yes. The people filming, editing, running the business, doing the marketing, all of these things. They're not on their own. So you're right. All of a sudden, all of these jobs are created around it.
Yeah. So I think it's you know, when we train the next generation, we need to say, well, we know the tools out there, but let's train them with the thought in mind, how do they use it in a way that they can go, wait, hang on, this AI isn't going to do it 100% and I need to step in here. But be comfortable with saying, fine, I can embrace AI and I can use it to my full advantage, but be aware that there are these issues. So, I mean, it's not the first time you've read in the headlines that lawyers keep getting caught using ChatGPT or some of these other generative AI, making up cases. And we tell people, listen, it's going to make things up. It's going to hallucinate and make these cases
But how
up.
Does you that happen? I'm sorry. Please explain to me how an AI tool can make up a court a fictitious case. I mean, I know it can, but
So it's actually stats. It's statistics. It's autocorrect because the AI that we now see is effectively the next generation of your auto project. So you know, and your autocorrect. And your the on your phone when you're typing a message, and it suggests the next word you should put in is this word, and then you go, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, and then you just swipe, and then it fills in the words for you. So it starts and it says statistically, what is reasonably the next word that I should pop into the sentence here, and that's how it's automatically generating these cases together. Because it goes, okay, well, I'm expected to put a case in here somewhere. I obviously don't know what case. So I'm just going to statistically think it would be South African government versus, and then, you know, what would sound good here? And then they would pop a name in. And that's how these cases are being created. You know, it's being generated out of thin air. And so it's like if I ask you, well, what word comes after, you know, this word, and you say, well, obviously, South. What would be a good word that comes after? And you go, South Africa, and you go, and that's what the AIs are doing. So it's not intentionally thinking, let me make these up and get you into trouble, but it's just statistically, it makes sense to put this word in, and that's how I'm going to operate.
It's really so interesting. Before I let you go, one of the big discussions that I'm hearing everywhere is, and you're an academic, universities, schools, places of education, how do they deal with students using AI for research?
So I'm not going to lie, I think many universities, including UJ, is looking at the use of AI and saying, okay, it is pretty new-ish, and we've come up with ideas and strategies, and we say the best way is to teach the students how to use it responsibly and tell them, look, sure, use it. So we're not saying don't you dare use it, which some people feel very strongly about, like, how dare you? You will not. But we're advocating for use it. Go ahead. It's a tool. It's like the calculator, you know, that when it became very mainstream. I imagine the math teachers also
felt the same.
Out and said, how dare you use it? You know, but we want to do that. But we also want to teach the students and say, listen, use it responsibly. This is how you use it.
And be critical.
This is how you should be using it.
Use it critically.
Don't just go, oh, it spat out a whole paragraph and just send it. It's good to go. You know, read it. Read through it and see, is this something you would write? You know, do you accept this? Do you check the facts, you know, because otherwise there might be, and I'm sure you've read many instances of dear Howard, insert your name here, and you're like, wow,
it's unbearable.
Your name here.
Yeah. It's my worst, but it's very interesting and certainly something that we're going to be talking about for a while. Dr. Wade Tse-Lung, lecturer of Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. It's 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.